Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a blessing to be part of your divine plan. Lord, as a human being and as the human race that has lifted their standard up against thy spirit and thy word, I pray that you will humble us. Help us, Lord, to see the values, to be obedient to you in all things in life. Father, touch our hearts so that we can have the framework of salvation on our mind all the time. And as we look into this subject of the gifts of the Spirit, help us, Lord, to present it in a way that are pleasant and great in your sight, so that you can bless us to bless others. We pray for this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing to be able to have a daily devotion. And on this morning, I want to just further go into the subject. It's such a great, big subject, and you sometimes wonder, how can a man imagine and tell the whole story? It's impossible. When John was putting up his final words, when he had seen the works of Jesus, he said books would fill the world. Heaven wouldn't be big enough to tell all the details of what happened in just the 3.5 years Jesus Christ walked on earth to help the people to see the presence of God in action. No, I pray, Lord, and I pray for you, my brothers and sisters, that we together can look into one of the most wonderful expressions that God has for us, especially the gifts of the Spirit. When it comes to that, there is a scripture in Romans chapter 12 and also in John chapter 3. I may start with John chapter 3, because he says there, in chapter 3, verse 34, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure." In King James, it says, "He doesn't give the Spirit by measure unto him." All right? But when you read verse 35, it's obvious. "The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into his hands." It's just like what you read in Matthew 28 when Jesus is speaking to the disciples. "To me is given all authority or power in heaven and earth." So the giver is God, the eternal Spirit, and he gives it to his beloved Son. That is really the beginning of the creation of God, according to Revelations 3:14, when Jesus is addressing himself to John, he's saying, "Thus saith the Spirit, the beginning of the creation of God." And that was Jesus Christ, because God had Jesus Christ on his agenda, on his mind. In whatever he created, Jesus was on his mind, because he was going to create a family. And that family would be the head, the leader, namely Jesus the Christ. And at the end of all time, we will be his brothers and sisters. He will be the firstborn among believers, or firstborn among the brethren. And of course, that includes sisters too, because that is how God creates things. So in John chapter 3, we found out that the Spirit of God is given to Jesus the Christ in a full measure. There's no limitations. But when we talk about limitations, we must understand Jesus Christ was not the creator. He was the redeemer. God created him because he saw that man would fail. He saw the fall in the Garden of Eden, and he knew that the result of it, mortality would enter into the human family. So then we would have a short life. Well, in the beginning, they lived up to 900 years, like Methuselah, 969 years. And we may wonder, how would they ever be able to live that long? But hey, if they hadn't sinned, they would have never died. So Methuselah would have been more or less been around 6,000 years now. But because of sin, mortality came in. And with that, and of course in God's foreknowledge, that was already prefigured in his mind. Therefore, when he created the things, he made sure that his Spirit would dwell in mankind. But the first and former was the beginning of the creation of God, namely Jesus the Christ. Therefore, when he says there, he does not give the Spirit by measure unto him. That means he had the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelling in him. But when you go up to Romans, and we read from verse 3, we find out something here. For I say, no, Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. For I say, through the grace that was given me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. And you see here a distinct difference, John 3 and Romans chapter 12. Jesus, Spirit with no limit. But the human race that are born after Adam and have the limitation, mortality, we find out that we will have the measure of God, or measure of faith, excuse me, according to faith. And what is faith? Well, faith is that extra spiritual tool that God has installed into man. Yeah, that is the different spiritual factor that helps man to be able to recognize God. We know according to Romans chapter 4, the Bible says that man, God, or should I say, man does not seek God, but God seeks man. All right. So in our selfishness, we, the human soul, we have a tendency to make ourselves the primary object of creation, and people try to make themselves God. And that's why God put limitations. And even with that limitation, man still tried to make themselves a God. All right, so Romans chapter 1 speaks about the same thing. But here, when I read in Romans 12, it says here, that he has given the man a measure of faith. For verse 4, For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and severally members of one another. And then it comes here. And having gifts, remember our topic, the gifts of the Spirit, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Our ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teaches to his teaching, or he that exhorted to his exhorting. He that giveth, let him do it with liberality, and he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Hallelujah. So here, the Bible is speaking, and the Lord is speaking to us, of course, through Paul. He's saying that we have different gifts. And I have already now told you in our former meetings that God installed all the gifts in the human soul. Every gift is there. And even when we look at Paul and the apostles back, because we have the readings, how they express themselves, there are things in the spiritual world that are not still fully in operation in the human mind. Because I don't think that the human soul can comprehend and live with all the top measured gifts of God's Spirit working in and through their lives, because we have such a weakness in our flesh that we want to become very important. If people have the Spirit of healing operating in their lives, many people make themselves king. They are the king of healers. There are ministers out there today. They are bragging about what they can do in the name of Jesus Christ, which is not the right way to do. Because one day Jesus Christ will deny even the working of the gifts of the Spirit, because it was done in selfishness. All right. So here we found out that if we are going to operate gifts, and of course, it is actually not us ourselves that are cooking up a mind of thinking. Let's say you see someone that are sick, you see someone that need help, and then you look at yourself and then you say, well, I think I can help them because I got the gifts of the Spirit. And I operated this spiritual gift. I've operated that gift before, so I can do it again. Hey, there's one thing about how God expresses his rightful way to show us how these things are in operation. And I would say, when I look at the life and the works of the brother from the States, William Branham, who was a prophetic voice. And when you look at him and the way he was thinking, you can hear about it in his sermons on tape, and you can also read it in books. And you find out that that man never operated gifts according to his own desire. No, he had a desire to see it in operation, but he was always waiting upon the Spirit so that the Spirit would take control of him, so the gifts of the Spirit would come out in a right and divine way. God can actually speak in a divine order through a mortal being. That's why the Bible speaks about you and me, that we can receive the gifts according to measure. God measures out how that we will represent him and be a help to people. I've seen that in my own life, where God shows me by visions, by dreams, and by audible voices how to do things, how to operate, so that the other souls that I meet on my way can be reached and understand that it is God in operation. So when you and I are in operation and the Spirit take control over us, then it is God in operation. It doesn't make us God, but it makes us God's tool. That's a wonderful thing. And then there is a warning. And I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians, because that's very, very important. 1 Corinthians. Let's see here. And in chapter 3. And from verse 10. Yeah, we can also read from verse 8. And it says here, now, he that planted and he that watereth are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's husbandry, God's building. And according to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another built thereon. But let each man take heed how he built thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But, in verse 12, but in if any man built on the foundation, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire itself shall prove each man's work, what sort it is. And if any man's work shall abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. And I can take verse 16 also and 17. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man destroyeth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, and such are you. All right. When I look at that scripture, I look at really a scripture where the born again Christian believer is standing before the Almighty God and are going to receive his blessings, or also being ripped off for whatever selfish means the person had in their lifespan. Think about it. Remember, if you are brought before God's judgment, and you have part in what is called the first resurrection. You can mention that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, where the Bible says, "Blessed is he that have part in the first resurrection. Over him the second death has no power." That's a beautiful scripture. But when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 10 and up, we find out that even if you are born again, some people say born again believers will never be judged. I'll say born again believers will never be condemned and cast away and cast in the lake of fire. That's never going to happen, because they have part in the first resurrection. But since we are not perfect, I am not perfect, and I guess you are not all perfect either, therefore, we have a tendency to want to stretch our so-called faith or image to a point that we want to look more holy than we really are. Because in our mind, hey, you can look at a person, you can walk with them, and you can say, "Hello, God bless you." But in your mind, you can say, "Oh, that's that jerk again, my Lord." All right? So you are saying one thing, and you're thinking another one, another thing, thought. So, and this is what God is really ordering, instructing us to do away with. That's why Jesus came, and that is why Jesus always blessed. He didn't really curse people. He was helping them. And then when they took his life on the cross, he just looked up to his Father and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They have no idea what is coming up." And he didn't say that to take revenge on the human race, but he said it so that God would judge them with fair, with righteousness, with honesty. Well, God is always honest. God, Jesus Christ didn't need to tell God to be honest and true. He always is. But he also used that from the cross, his believers, how many of that was left on Golgotha, when they saw him giving up the ghost and they heard him say, "Father, forgive them." That got deep into their soul. And every true believer that later on would stand before a judgment, ready to be killed off, like Stephen, when he was stoned, he said, "Don't account them this evil deed. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do." Well, that's a wonderful way to look at things. And if no other foundation can be made, then I'll say Christ has shown us the right way to do it. But let me finalize this today. When it says, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 3:12, "But if any man built on the foundation," and it comes up here and it says gold, silver, costly stone, and then another value, wood, hay, and stubble. So that means some people are building with precious material. And it is not really natural gold, silver, and costly stones, but it is your attitude to serve God and not putting yourself into it as putting yourself in as gold, silver, costly stones. You are using the inspiration of God. Remember, the gifts of the Spirit has to be operated in a solid manner, so that the works will not burn up. Because our way to express the spiritual gifts is going to affect the people around us, and it's going to affect us as well. Because people came to Jesus and said, we have even cast out evil spirits. So, and Jesus said, I don't know you, because you have been workers of iniquity. There is an attitude inside you that shows me you are using the gifts of the Spirit for your own benefit. And Jesus Christ, or the Lord then, will not honor anyone operating anything selfishness. So the quality of the works, cast out spirits, is really how that people in their selfishness. I could have told you a story. Maybe I should do that. I know that I shouldn't spend too much time, but it looks like the days and the minutes are flying here. I had a dream one time. I was home here in Verdal. And when I came into the dream, I saw a scene in a church-like building. I had my guitar in my hand. And when I was walking, out of the auditorium. It was a big old theater, and it had lots of curtains because people in theaters, they change scenes all the times, and they use curtains to hide the different acts. And I saw myself carrying my guitar through the curtains back to the backstage of the building, where I had my guitar case. And when I put the case up and laid the guitar in the case, I saw a brother coming up from behind me. And that was Brother Raymond Jackson from Indiana. And he had a mandolin in his arm. And he took the mandolin and was heading for a box that was standing beside my guitar box. And he put the mandolin in the case. And then he always carried a Stetson hat, like a cowboy hat. And the hat was laying there on the chair in front of the mandolin. And he took the hat, put it on his head, picked up the mandolin case, rose up from his kneeling position, and he looked at me. And his look was kind of strange, like, what is this going to be like? And then he turned and he started walking out of the theater. And I froze at the very moment. I said, what is this? And I woke up. And my, when I woke up, of course, I was still in my bedroom here in Norway. But shortly after that, I went in. I got a phone call, and it was Brother Jackson. And he said, Brother Strong, I want you to go with me into Russia. We're going to have some meetings in Moscow. And if I'm going to tell in a lengthy way, Brother Jackson sent me into Russia in 1992. And Grace, my wife, and I, we went into Russia, and we had several small meetings and gatherings with the Russian people in Moscow. And I gave a report back to Brother Jackson about those things. And then in 1993, Brother Jackson called me and said, let's go to Moscow and see if we can be a help to the people there. So we took the airplane to Moscow, and we ended up with a younger group of believers that wanted to have meetings in a different place because they didn't have their own building.